Hallelujah. Today's scripture reading is Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5 to 8. And the second one is Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18 to 20. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5 to 8, and Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18 to 20. Today's title is What is the Secret to True Happiness? What is the secret to true happiness? I'd like to read Jeremiah chapter 17, 5 to 8. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes fresh his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. For he will be like a bush in the desert and will not see when prosperity comes, but will live in stony waste in the wilderness, a land of salt without inhabitant. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust in the Lord. For he will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by a stream and will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaves will be green, and it will not be anxious in a year of drought, nor cease to yield fruit. I'd like to read the Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18 to 20. Pride goes before destruction, and the haughty spirit before stumbling. It is better to be a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. He who gives attention to the word shall find good, and blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. This is the word of God. When you saw today's sermon title and read the scripture passage, I believe you have already found the answer. That's right, it is to trust in God. However, whether each of us is actually living according to that answer, we know is a different matter. I'm not trying to talk about the difference between believing in God and putting that belief into practice. However, there is perhaps no other topics where, even though we know the answer, we fail to act upon it as much as today's theme. I pray that through today's passage, we'll find the answer to why this is so, resolve this conflict, and live a life of true happiness without further struggle in our faith. So, when did the concept of happiness first enter human life? Who do all people regard happiness as the highest value in the life and strive to seek and possess it? This human tendency to pursue happiness is not merely a psychological phenomenon. It stems from the fact that we have lost happiness. When God created us, He granted us all satisfaction, fulfillment, and joy. In other words, happiness. How do we know this? If we look closely at Genesis chapter 1, we see that after creating everything, God said, "Let it be so," and declared that it was good. For instance, I like to read for you Genesis chapter 1, verse 9 to 10, the third day. Then God said, "Let the water below the heavens be gathered into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering of the waters He called sea. And God saw that it was good. This is because in accordance will of God's plan, He created everything in truth, goodness, and beauty. And when He saw that it was so, and that His plan was fulfilled, He declared that it was good. And it is said that He placed man created in God's image as a ruler of Garden of Eden. Here, Eden carries the meaning of joy, delight, and gladness. According to the Psalm chapter 16, verse 12, the scripture said, Thou wilt make known to me the path of life, in thy presence is fullness of joy, in thy right hand there are pleasures forever. As you know, the Eden is a garden of God. So that is in thy presence. That is the fullness of joy and pleasure forever, right? However, all of this was shattered after Adam's fall. After Adam was driven out of the Garden of Eden from God's presence, the world became oppressed where joy, delight, and exaltation were forgotten. Humans, whose bodies were left without the Spirit of God, instinctively sought to possess what they could, living frantic lives on this earth as they frantically sought to satisfy their every demand. And whenever they possessed that they desired, humans became beings who felt a fleeting sense of happiness. This situation has continued unchanged from the fall of Adam to the present day. To this day, the world tells us, you will be happy if you possess more. You will be happy if you rise to a higher position. You will be happy if you possess greater power. And you will be happy if you receive the recognitions from more peoples. Yet, what is astonishing is that when we look at the lives of countless peoples throughout history, we see that it is nearly impossible to find anyone who acknowledges their life as happy, feel satisfied, and bring their life to close in that state. Why is it that although they all desire to be happy, none of them were able to achieve it? It is because they are seeking happiness on this earth without knowing the fundamental reason why they have fallen into this predicament. Amen. It is because they do not know that all blessings are connected to God and that God is the source of all blessings. According to the Numbers chapter 6 verse 24, scripture said, The Lord bless you and keep you. He is the one who pours out spiritual blessing upon us as well. In the Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3, is our Lord Jesus Christ who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Please consider all the blessings God gave to Joseph through Jacob. Let's look at the Genesis chapter 49, verse 25. I'd like to read for you. And by the Almighty who bless you with the blessings of heaven above, blessing of the deep that lies beneath, blessing of the breast and of the womb. This is because fallen human beings, even those who profess to believe, live their lives having forgotten the very fact that God is the source of all blessing, despite knowing it to be true. That is why the Bible speaks to us countless times in many places. It tells us that the serving God as our God is a blessing. According to the Psalm chapter 144, verse 15, scripture says, How blessed are the people whose God is the Lord. Amen. He called it an evil deed to abandon God, who is the source of blessing and the source of life, and to make a leaky cisterns, one that cannot hold water at all. their eternal source of drink. That is the come from the what the Jeremiah chapter 2 verse 13. So I like to read for you. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, too few for themselves, cisterns, the broken cisterns that can hold no water. In short, their approach to seeking blessing was wrong. In short, it is evil to forsake God, the source of blessing, and try to achieve blessing on one's own. Today's passage goes further to declare that such people will be cursed. Today's scripture reading from the Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5, the Lord said, the curse is the man who trusts in mankind and makes fresh his strength and whose heart turns away from the Lord. He's saying very clearly that those who turn away from God, put their trust in people, and believe that human beings will be their source of strength are not merely cursed, but will receive divine punishment. And God drew a conclusion. He declares that trusting in Him is a blessing. According to the Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 7, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and those who trust in the Lord. And the Proverbs chapter 16, verse 20, he who gives attention to the word shall find good, and blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. Amen. Fallen human, having become fresh, mistake the blessing of this visible, fleeting world for true blessings and spend their lives pursuing them. However, God desired that we long for eternal blessings, the blessing that lasts forever. In particular, He is issuing a warning to those in this world who follow the flesh and live immersed in fleshly thought. According to the 1 John chapter 2, verse 17, the God, the warning to us, and the world is passing away, and all is lust, but the one who does the will of God abide forever. Amen. Despite the God's exhortations, the fate of those who persist in relying on the flesh, which is destined to perish, is death, and nothing but enmity with God await them. I'd like to read for you from the Psalm chapter 8, verse 5 to 8. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mindset on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so, and those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Amen. Since the fall of Adam, as we see throughout the Bible, a fierce battle has been raging in the heart of all people, a spiritual war between trusting God and trusting in people or oneself. In today's passage, the expression trusting in man goes beyond simply receiving help from others. It means abandoning the Jehovah God, the Creator and Redeemer, and making human beings who are merely creatures the ultimate object of our trust. Yet there is an obstacle among us that prevents us from trusting in God. It is our pride. What is the true nature of pride? What happens when pride takes root in our heart? According to the Psalm chapter 10, verse 4, the wicked in the haughtiness of his countenance does not seek him. All his thoughts are, there is no God. It alters our thinking to believe that God does not exist. Therefore, we make every decision on our own. We devise schemes racking our brains to choose what we deem the best and most optimal course of actions. However, the Bible continually speaks to us. It tells us not to pretend to be wise on our own, but to believe that God is present in all things and prepared the best path for us, and that the fearing the Lord is the way to turn away from evils. Let's look at from the Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 7. Trust in God with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Amen. The first man, Adam, fell because he disobeyed God's command and ate the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If the woman had listened to God's word and not to the serpent's words, she would not have fallen. However, once the serpent's words entered her heart, she mobilized all her own wisdom. She chose to act with the heart that considered herself wise. She relied on herself rather than on God. And she decides to eat the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. This was the very pride that brought about the fall and ruin. According to the Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18, scripture said, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before stumbling. The history of fallen humanity separate from God is the history of countless small towers of Babel built by these, the fleshly beings who rely on themselves. That is why the first thing the Cain did after leaving God was to build a city. He did not build a visible city to protect himself, but sought to ascend to heaven by his own strength. He built a fortress of pride to prevent God from taking possession of his heart. We too follow this example, building our own fortress by relying on our knowledge, our wealth, and our relationships. But God clearly declares that such a life is like a bush in the desert. It will never see good things come and will dwell in the parched places of the wilderness in dry, barren land. Attempt to create happiness through one's own strength ultimately leads to ruin, deeper deprivation, and thirst. This is precisely the eschatological tragedy that pride brings. We must not say, is someone else's fault that I went wrong? Or is someone else's fault that I failed? We must not overlook the fact that all misfortune does not come from outside, but begins right within ourselves. It is not someone else who broke our path to God, but ourselves, our own flawed self, our pride. In today's passage, the Hebrew words to trust in and to rely on God are batak and miftak. Although these two words are used as a synonym, synonym, they contain two distinct meanings. The first implies to flee or to hurry to a place of safety. In short, when danger strikes, God is the refuge we must quickly seek out for our own safety. The second meaning is to trust firmly to hope. In other words, taking a refuge in God and waiting with the hope that all will be well within Him is what true blessing is. According to the Psalm chapter 34, verse 8, God said, "How blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him." And I'll give you another Psalm 144, verse 2. "My loving kindness and my fortress, my stronghold and my deliverer, my shield and his in whom I take refuge, who subdue my people under me." Amen. Today, through the word, we have reaffirmed this truth. Living by trusting in God, drawing near to Him, and making Him our Lord is what leads us to possess eternal blessings. In order not to lose the blessing we have received through Jesus Christ, we must live a life in which we entrust every new day that God gives us to Him. Happiness does not come in an instant. We must rely on God every day, entrust ourselves to Him every day, and cast aside our pride every day. When we believe in and rely on God, His power and authority become one and work in our lives. Amen. Therefore, we must pray that our faith may not rely on people, but that we may have a faith that looks to and relies solely on God. The Lord defined the happiness, the person, in this way. According to the Luke chapter 12, verse 35 to 37, I'd like to read for you. "Be dressed in the readiness and keep your lamps alight, and be like a man who are waiting for their master when he returns from the wedding feast, so that they may immediately open the door to him when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master shall find on the alert when he comes. Truly I say to you, that he will gird himself to serve and have them recline at the table and will be come up and wait on them. The servant remains awake, girded and with their lamps light, waiting until the master returns late from the wedding feast. The master sees those who open the door the moment he knocks and blesses them, saying that he will seat them at the table and serve them. This is precisely the place where one receives the blessing of eternal life, a place where one is invited to God's table and granted the privilege of sharing in the joy with the master. He never for a single moment let his mind wander from the master's returns. He remained constantly attuned to the master's heart. He is one who has become one with the master. However, there are those who say the master will come when he comes, ignoring the master's heart and the movement, and being so busy with their own affairs that they fail to see the master's returns. Did not the Lord say that such a person will not only be unable to escape the relationship between master and the servant forever, but will also be cast out into the outer darkness because they did not welcome him? This kind of entrusting our own self oneself to God is not just for today, but means entrusting my entire future to God. Have we not learned from Job's patience? Did he not receive the blessing of seeing God's face through faith, relying on God to the very end and never severing his relationship with him, even amidst the 30 long years of suffering? I pray that all the saints of the First Church may become people of faith who trust and rely on God to the very end, ultimately seeing the outcome that God provides. Amen. God is asking us fundamental question today. What are you relying on right now? There is a word we must keep in mind as we look toward the heavens. I'd like to give you a good example. Let's look at the Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 15 to 18. I'd like to read for you. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity and death and adversity. In that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to work in his ways and to keep his commandment and his statute and his judgment, that you may live and multiply, and that the Lord your God may bless you in the land where you are entering to possess it. But if your heart turns away and you will not obey, but are drawn away and worship other gods and serving them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land where you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess it. This is a statement that is in line with the word that God gave through Moses when the people of Israel, even while seeing with their own eyes the land of Canaan that God has promised, were wavering because they lacked confidence in their faith in God. It is time to make a firm decision in one's heart. You like to take the life, prosperity, or death and adversity. Please open your Bible. We like to read together and conclude. Please open your Bible, Psalm 133, verse 3. Okay, I'd like to read for you. It is like the dew of Hermon's coming down upon the mountains of a giant, for there the Lord command the blessing, life forever, life forever. Amen. Let's pray together. We thank you for awakening us today with the precious word of life and for the granting us eternal life, the blessing you have intended for us from before the foundation of the world. We thank you for helping us realize that while God has been blessing us from before the foundation of the world, the enemy that prevents us from receiving God's blessing is none other than our own pride. Though we have claimed to believe in and rely on Jesus, we have failed to realize that in all things and every day, God, Jesus, and the world are our only refuge, and that living with hope and assurance in this is what it means to enjoy the blessing God gives. Forgive us, Lord, for our pride up to this very moment, for setting forth our own righteousness before you. May the faith we have realized today be engraved in our heart, not just for today, but until the Lord returns. And for all eternity, so that we may all become people who look only to the Father and the life clinging only to God. As we pray and ask for all these things, we pray honestly in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.